Welcome to Raw, where we hear true, unfiltered stories from real women in the actuarial profession. For the next half hour, you get to hear stories, advice, and all the latest tea from some of the industry's best and brightest. Wondering how the highest paid women asked for raises, how they became the first woman in their company C-suite, how allies can help them on their journeys. Get it all directly from the women who've lived it. This is Raw. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Raw. Today, I am joined by Candace Woods, who has both her FSA and MAAA. She served 41 years as an actuary at Prudential Financial. Candace was named Senior Vice President and Chief Actuary in November of 2017 and served in that role until her retirement in June of 2023. She also served on the board of directors of Prudential's joint venture in India. Candace has a Bachelor of Science degree in mathematics from the Pennsylvania State University. Candace also is a member of the board of visitors for Smeal College of Business at Penn State, the chairman of the advisory board for the Risk Management Academy of University of Texas, El Paso, and a member of the SOA DEIC committee. Welcome, Candace.
Thank you.
All right, Candace, I'm going to open us up with the same question we ask every woman on our show. How did being a woman influence your career as an actuary?
So, you know, as you mentioned, I was in my career for 41 years. So how being a woman influenced me changed dramatically from the beginning of my career until the end of my career. I grew up in a very traditional rural area of Pennsylvania. And, you know, my parents' aspiration for me as a woman was just to find a good husband and have children. And, I had four older brothers. They all went to college, and many of my friends in high school went to college. So I wanted to go also. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. Sometimes if my dad was between jobs, you know, you had to make decisions on what bill you're going to pay. And so I think for all of the children, we wanted to go into professions where we felt we would have financial stability. So I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with my, as a major in college. And one day I was a junior in high school, and my trigonometry teacher asked me what I was going to major in. And I said, I don't know, maybe something in business. And he goes, with your math skills, you should be a math major. And I was kind of like, no offense, but I don't want to be a math teacher. And I thought that was the end of the conversation. But 2 weeks later, he came back to me and he said, gave me a pamphlet about the actuarial profession. And he said, I think you should consider this profession because, you know, it's a business role, but it allows you to use your strong math skills to excel. And as a woman, I liked that idea that, you know, there'd be something unique or, you know, give me an edge to, you know, to grow in my career. And I also noticed at Penn State, which is the school I wanted to go to, in their math department, they had an emphasis in actuarial science. And so I thought like all the stars were aligning. And so that's what I did. Then when I graduated from Penn State and I chose Prudential as my employer on their actuarial executive development program, I was just two women out of the 10. So, you know, again, you know, I'm feeling one, I'm in the minority as a woman, and two, you know, I went to Penn State, which, you know, it's a good school, but, you know, all the other folks on the program came from very strong private schools, Penn, Princeton. And so I came in with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder where I felt I really need to prove that, you know, I belonged on this program. And so as I was going through my rotations, I was really kind of a heads down, you know, I got to pass my exams. I got to, you know, really excel in my rotations to, you know, make them feel like it was a good decision to hire me. But I really did like the change of, you know, moving on different assignments every year to 18 months. And so when I completed my credentialing, became an FSA, and graduated from the program, I continued to try to change up my, you know, my roles and responsibilities every 2 to 3 years. And that helped to broaden my knowledge and experiences. I did, as my parents hoped for me, I did get married, and I had 2 children. I have 2 daughters. And after I had my 2nd daughter, I was in an assignment where I had to work a lot of overtime. And while I felt like I was being successful at the job, I didn't feel good about the amount of time that was left to spend with my daughters. And so I needed a change. And I was already a vice president at the time. And at that point in time, there were not a lot of women who were allowed to work part-time at that level. And so I was very nervous to ask, could I work part-time and whether they'd even allow me. But I knew I needed a change. And so I asked, and my boss talked to his boss, the business unit chief actuary, and they decided that they would give me a different role that I could do part-time. And so I was very thankful that they were flexible enough for me. I did worry a little bit that going part-time might, you know, derail my career a little bit. And so, you know, that was a concern of mine. And certainly I think a lot of women have that concern. You know, how do you balance work and family, and how will it affect your career if you step back a little bit at some point in time? But I was lucky. I was working part-time for over 5 years. And then I was in the life business of for Prudential. And the chief actuary came to me and said, I'm going to be making some reorganization. I'm offering you a promotion, but you do have to come back full time to take the promotion. And so that was a very, you know, that's a difficult decision to make. You know, I first had to talk to my husband and, you know, see what he thought about, you know, me going back to full time. And, you know, he's been an incredible partner to me throughout both our careers. And, you know, he was basically, we will make it work. We will find a way to make it work for the family. And so, you know, I don't think I could have achieved what I did in my career without him as a partner. So I'm very thankful about, you know, the partnership I had with my spouse. So I came back full time, and I was working about a couple years. And the chief actuary for my business decided to retire early. And so they posted her position. And I was, of all her direct reports, I was the newest promotee. So I didn't initially even think about posting for the job. But she stopped by my office one day and encouraged me, if I wanted that type of role, that I should post. And so I didn't think of it at the time, but now in retrospect, I think of her as a sponsor, because she really thought highly of me and she encouraged me to, you know, to be all I could be as an actuary. Again, I talked to my husband and we decided that I would post for the position. Now, I didn't get the position, but I don't think of that as a negative thing, because it made me think about, well, why did the person, you know, that was chosen get the job and I didn't? And it just made me think, one, what do I really want out of my career? You know, I was, up until that point in time, I was just trying to do a good job at whatever role I had. But now it's like, okay, long term, where do I want to take my career? And I just was a lot more deliberate about what I did thereafter to make myself ready for when an opportunity like that came along again. And so I took a lateral move to just into our corporate operations, so I would really be able to expand my knowledge across all the businesses in Prudential. And so that's another thing that I think is really important. People don't like to change jobs often because if it's not a promotion, but I'm a big proponent of lateral moves, that it really helps you build your skills and abilities. So I was in that corporate assignment for about 2 years, and then a opportunity to be the chief actuary in our international insurance operations became available. And, you know, that was an interesting, you know, thought process for me because I had never worked in international operations, but I thought I had a lot of skills that I had developed over my time in the life business that would, you know, be, would allow me to be successful there. So I posted for that job and I did get an offer for that. So that's taking a risk. The interesting thing was on the day I was offered the job, they also asked me to go back to the chief actuary of the life business and talk to him first before I decided. And I found that odd, but I went over and I talked to him and he told me that the president of that business was going to be retiring in 6 months and he was going to be getting the job. And so he would like me to be his chief actuary. So now I have two offers as a chief actuary for two different businesses, one that I spent almost 20 years in and knew, you know, broadly, deeply, had so many good relationships in that businesses. And then another business that I never worked in. I didn't have relationships with the people there. And I went to talk to my family first, but I also talked to the chief actuary of the company. And he said to me, you know, Candace, if being a business unit chief actuary is what you aspire to do, and that's going to be your last stop, take the life chief actuary role. Because it won't be easy, but it'll be easier. But if you think maybe someday you want to aspire to my job, take the role in international because, you know, you will just be learning so many new and different things. So, you know, talking through it with my husband, I also talked about it with my my children. I have my two daughters. One was in college, so she had already left. But my other daughter was in high school, and if I took this role, I was going to have to be traveling, and I had to be sure that she was okay with that. And so, I think it's, you know, another thing to, for people to keep in mind is, you know, how important, you know, your career progression as a woman affects your family and making sure they're involved in those decisions. So I did take the job as the international chief actuary. While I was the chief actuary in international insurance, I went to many different countries in Asia and South America primarily. In Asia, oftentimes you'll have a very male-dominant leadership role. So I did have concern as a woman, would they, you know, would they respect me? Would I be able to be influential? I found that, you know, just, you know, making sure you're really trying to learn their world and build strong relationships. And, you know, once you build those relationships, then you will get their respect and they will listen to you and you can be influential. So that was a very different, as a woman, how did, you know, that affect my career? You know, that's a very different thing than the flexibility I needed mid-career and just the confidence I needed early in my career. So about a couple of years into that assignment, the company chief actuary nominated me for an executive development program for high potential people in the company. So again, you know, thinking back, I viewed him as my sponsor because he nominated me for a program that really also, in addition to my experiences, helped me develop my leadership skills and made me more ready when he retired. And so when he did retire, I was asked to succeed him as the company chief actuary, which, you know, I think about, you know, where I started and where I ended. I could have never imagined that, but it was certainly an incredible experience. And I was so happy that that I got that opportunity to be the company chief actuary.
Yeah, that is a wildly inspiring career journey. Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny. I also grew up in a rural small town. I was in Iowa, not Pennsylvania, but we were also super poor. And I mostly wanted a job with some sort of financial stability. So, I mean, the fact that we started from similar backgrounds and you ended up as chief actuary at your company is very encouraging for me. So that's amazing. I also think it's so cool that you went part-time for a while, because I think something I've heard in several interviews now is this desire to like balance between family and your career and like, how do you do that and nervousness of stepping back. And the fact that, one, you had supportive people in your life who allowed you to go part-time. And then while you were part-time, I want to make sure I got this right, you were promoted to chief actuary while you were part-time, but then had to go back full-time to do that. And then after that, you had two different offers in other chief actuarial roles and kept moving up. So like, that's very encouraging for people who want to go part-time for a little while, that you can still have an amazing career trajectory.
Yeah. Let me just, the position I was offered while I was part-time was, it was a promotion.
Okay.
It was not to the chief actuary role. It was working for the chief actuary as being a direct report of the chief actuary. So,
oh, gotcha.
So there's kind of a two-stepper there till I became a chief actuary. But yes, you know, I was blown away when I was offered that promotion, because you kind of think like, when you're working part-time, people aren't really going to consider you for promotional opportunities. But I will say that when they did offer it to me, one of the things my husband and I talked about is, if I say no, if I say I'm not quite ready to go back full time, will I get a second offer? And so that was really, you know, in my mind at the time, that I should take this promotion because I may not get another one. And so, you know, whether, I think when she first asked me, if I recall correctly, I actually started crying a little bit,
yeah,
to myself, because I wasn't quite ready to go back full time, but I knew this was a good opportunity and I really should take it. And, you know, we worked it out. But it is difficult, you know, when you have children and you're trying to build a career, having just the right balance.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything you did in particular while you were working part-time that made you stand out enough that like you were thought of when opportunities like that came up?
Yeah. I mean, I think prior to becoming a part-time employee, I had a good reputation with the company as someone that was, you know, strong and, you know, moving up in the company. So, I mean, that's helpful that I started from a position of strength when I went part-time. But, you know, when I was working full-time, I was working like 50 hours a week. And that was just too much, you know, with trying to, you know, raise my daughters. And so when I went part-time, I was probably working 30 hours a week, which doesn't sound that part-time-ish. But going from 50 hours to 30 hours is a huge difference. And it just made our life, you know, manageable. So, you know, I was still working enough. And, you know, I had a team that I was leading. And so, you know, I felt like I could still add a lot of value and be noticed, even though I was part-time.
Cool. Well, this has been one of the most inspiring and relatable interviews I've done. So thank you so much for your time today.
Sure.
Our closing question is, what is one raw piece of advice for women actuaries that you want to share?
I hope I can give a couple.
Yeah.
And I think people can, you know, relate to them from my story. One is, you know, if you need flexibility, ask for flexibility. It's, you know, it is going to help you. And I think my company allowing me that flexibility was happy because I became loyal to them and I didn't, you know, I stayed with the company because of the flexibility they afforded me. So it was a win for me. It's a win for them. And also, you know, I talked about sponsors, you know, and, you know, you can't pick a sponsor. Sponsors are people who are familiar with your work and they think highly of you and they're willing to kind of go to bat for you. But what you can do to gain a sponsor is make sure that you're doing a lot with relationship building. You know, the company chief actuary that nominated, he and I had worked together probably like 15, 20 years before that point in time. And so we knew each other and we kept in contact. And so, you know, having those strong relationships throughout your career can allow you to have sponsors as you go down the line. So those are the two things that I think are important to highlight.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with both of those pieces. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, you can join NAWA to get all our latest podcasts and resources for empowering women actuaries at nawaactuaries.org. That's nawaactuaries.org. Our music is Divertimento in G by Haydn, performed by Lindley Baker. And our logo was designed by Haley Osterkorn, both women actuaries. If you're a woman actuary or ally who wants to get involved with our show, you can email us directly at ally@nawaactuaries.org. That's ally@nawaactuaries.org.